Welcome to The Gaggle, a politics podcast by the Arizona Republic and azcentral.com. I'm Yvonne Winget Sanchez with Ron Hansen.
This is the final episode of our five-part series. Yvonne and I are reading our new series on AZ Central and the Arizona Republic, detailing the origins and outcomes of the state Senate's ballot review. Think of it as the audiobook version of our stories. It also includes reporting from Republic reporters Jen Fifield, Robert Anglin, and Mary Jo Pitzel.
After you listen to the podcast, you're going to want to look at AZ Central for lots of extras, from videos to documents to background stories on the whole thing. Your subscriptions to AZ Central and the Arizona Republic help support this kind of journalism. Reporters from international news outlets flew in to Phoenix to watch from a makeshift press box as volunteers unpacked, inspected, and repacked boxes of Maricopa County's ballots inside Veterans Memorial Coliseum. They weren't the only outsiders transfixed by the recount of 2.1 million ballots ordered by Republicans in the Arizona Senate. GOP lawmakers from at least 18 states trekked to the desert during triple-digit heat to study the process, pose for pictures, battle members of the mainstream press, and help push former President Donald Trump's baseless concern for a stolen election. "I like this approach in Arizona because it is scientific," said Pennsylvania State Senator Doug Mastriano, a Republican, after he visited the Coliseum in June. Arizona's unprecedented undertaking was a curiosity to many, but notably less so to one group, Arizona's state senators. The election review, started almost single-handedly by Senate President Karen Fann at the behest of Trump, his allies, and some members of her own caucus, was barely discussed at private GOP Senate meetings during the 2021 legislative session. Even as the Senate-ordered review drew elected officials from around the country, briefings for GOP senators focused on legislation and other matters. One GOP senator who supported a ballot review and a legislative hearing after the 2020 election said Fann wasn't having any caucus meetings or anything about it. "It's just kind of out there," the senator said. Ken Bennett, whose job as liaison was to update the Senate, said Fann, a Republican from Prescott, rarely asked him for briefings, and almost no one else ever did. "Had she invited me to a caucus meeting and explained things, I would have," he said, "but that never happened." In a four-month investigation, the Arizona Republic dug into the election review by examining text messages, emails, public records, and court records, many made public after the news outlet sued the state for access. Republic reporters spoke to decision makers, consultants, staff, contractors, campaign aides, and others tied to the review of the presidential and U.S. Senate races in Maricopa County. Some talked on the record about their experiences, while others spoke on the condition they not be identified in order to speak candidly about private conversations. Few people were needed to trigger the ballot review, and the idea quickly found support among those eager to believe Trump had won Arizona. Outside the Senate, a combination of strident social media messaging, fundraising, and friendly coverage by conservative media outlets created a mutually reinforcing echo chamber supporting the ballot review. It left the audience with the impression the effort was on the verge of revealing the fraud Trump insisted happened.
"It is clear in Arizona that they must decertify the election. You heard the numbers. And those responsible for wrongdoing must be held accountable. It was a corrupt election."
The ballot review received plenty of other media coverage as well, providing powerful motivation for donors in both corners of American politics. To conservatives in particular, Arizona's political theater served as a welcome, months-long distraction for many from the aftermath of the election, the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol by Trump followers, and from the early days of President Joe Biden's administration. The review helped stoke imagined grievances over 2020 and offered a key test for Republicans wanting Trump's blessings moving forward. From the outset, it appeared more about political messaging than any serious recount. And in the end, the contractors merely raised questions, made no serious allegations of fraud, and didn't challenge the final outcome. The process has had little connection to transparency or ensuring broad public confidence. One American news network, the far-right network favored by Trump, especially after Fox News called Arizona for Biden early on election night, wound up with wide-ranging access to the activities in the arena and to the officials overseeing the review. It was only done because they were willing to make the video feed available to everybody free, Bennett said, relating what he was told. If anyone else would have offered to do that first, whether it was CNN or AZ Central or anybody else, it could have easily been them. But OAN stood apart from other news organizations for other reasons. Christina Bobb, one of OAN's broadcast personalities, organized speakers who complained about voting issues in a meeting headed by Rudy Giuliani, Trump's lawyer, on November 30th in Phoenix. She also worked to reverse the election results in Arizona.
Can you clarify something for me, Christina? Because I read this.
Yes.
In the state of Arizona, and most all states, don't you have to keep all election information for 24 months, just like that database?
Yeah. Yeah, it's required to be kept for 2 years. Wow. At the very least, there's election tampering. There is election fraud of some level. No one's been pointing any fingers at anybody yet. I'm curious to see if Attorney General Mark Brnovich gets involved because, you know, when evidence seals are tampered with, to me that seems to indicate that somebody's trying to mess with a crime scene.
Email records show Bob, a lawyer, provided documents to Fan on behalf of Giuliani in December when Fan was considering what to do about reviewing election results. She was also part of a fundraising effort to help underwrite the ballot review. Bob urged her OAN viewers to donate to Voices and Votes, an organization she heads, to help pay for the ballot review in Arizona and elsewhere. Other news organizations, including the Arizona Republic, had to bring in lawyers to negotiate access to the proceedings in the Coliseum. Doug Logan, the CEO of Cyber Ninjas, the Florida company that oversaw the review, sought in April to require reporters to commit to working 30 hours as volunteers on the review in order to gain access, without allowing them to record the proceedings. Rod Thompson, Logan's friend and spokesman, advised Logan and others at the time that such restrictions would be spun against us as setting up unreasonable barriers to media being observers. We say we want them, but we really don't, type of thing. Bob, meanwhile, had unrivaled access. The ballot review had other reliable cheerleaders. The Gateway Pundit, a right-wing website with a long history of trafficking in fabricated news, covered the review with characteristic attacks on other media outlets and stories that were untrue. There were Twitter accounts linked to the ballot review that attacked reporters and, in a low moment, mocked the death of a political activist's dog. Those who wrote and shaped some of the caustic tweets were affiliated with the America Project, an organization run by Patrick Byrne, the former CEO of Overstock.com. One of the people who helped coordinate the tweets is Patrick Weaver, a man whose online biography said he worked in Trump's Department of Homeland Security. Another was former state lawmaker Steve Montenegro, a Republican whose political career imploded in 2018 after the disclosure of his racy text correspondence with a female junior legislative staffer who also sent him a topless photo. At the time, Montenegro dismissed the matter that stood in contrast to his standing as a married Christian minister as false tabloid trash. As part of the ballot review, Montenegro weaponized Twitter and viewed reporters as the enemy. "Media is feeling the heat," Montenegro said in a May 2nd text to Randy Pullen, the co-liaison to the ballot review, who was a former chairman of the Arizona Republican Party and former treasurer of the Republican National Committee. "Seeing how effective the Twitter account is defending the audit and messaging, also fundraising." The spectacle galvanized fundraising in a non-election year, although it's still unclear how much money private organizations claiming to support the Arizona ballot review raised in 2021. But the review was a boon for the state's political parties.
Despite the efforts to present the ballot review as necessary and credible, word of mistakes seeped out, and those with election auditing experience took note. By July, Cyber Ninja's workers had made their way through a recount of the votes on 2.1 million ballots. Then they started to reopen boxes and recount ballots, comparing them with the numbers the county gave them. As the Senate's extended lease in the Coliseum ended, the process was not over. The State Fair Board allowed the work to continue in a large exhibit hall on the property without air conditioning, one that was not meant to be occupied in the desert summer. Conditions inside the building were oppressive. Even with swamp coolers running, Ken Mata, an observer with the Secretary of State's office, said he recorded an average temperature of 87 degrees with an average humidity of 59%. Election auditing experts watching the process included Larry Moore, the retired founder of Massachusetts-based Clear Ballot Group, an elections technology company used in 9 states, including Florida and New York. Moore, who viewed Cyber Ninjas as unqualified, monitored the ballot review from afar. Working with Benny White, a Pima County Republican who had run for recorder there, and Tim Halverson, the retired chief technology officer at Clear Ballot, Moore offered an audacious challenge to test Cyber Ninja's accuracy. They said they could break down the candidate-by-candidate vote totals in any box Cyber Ninjas picked, without even looking inside it. Maricopa County reports ballots by precincts, not by the box they were packed inside. Moore's team reverse-engineered a tally for each box. It offered an instant, relatively granular check on disparities from the certified results. Fan ignored Moore's offer, but Bennett found it tantalizing. Bennett had long been denied information about the hand count tally. On July 12th, Moore and White sent to the Senate a very detailed reconciliation of how many ballots they thought were in each box, Bennett said. And it intrigued me greatly whether the count we were coming up with was anywhere close to that count. The next day, Fan said Cyber Ninja's hand count totals were different from the counties, and she ordered a box-by-box machine count of the ballots. It would be overseen by Pullen, a former national GOP operative whom Fan and others consulted about the review long before he was publicly identified with it in May. This count would tally how many ballots were in each box, but not try to determine who got how many votes. Bennett worried cyber ninjas would try to use the new count to rectify mistakes in their original count. He asked Pullen to describe how the new count would be independent of the company's count, but Pullen didn't. So Bennett took matters into his own hands. I've already assumed in my mind that the only reason you would do a third count is if the first two counts didn't match, Bennett said. He managed to get 24 box totals from the hand count from some of the workers. And even though the Senate and Cyber Ninjas had prohibited anyone involved in the ballot count from giving out results before the final tallies were ready, Bennett reached out to Moore and White. I got on a Zoom call with Larry and his two guys, and we discussed that some of them matched and some of them didn't, Bennett remembered. Moore said in that 24-box sample, the Senate's machine counts nearly exactly matched his group's figures that replicated the county's final canvas. Such a result made clear Cyber Ninja's hand recount could be checked. After news got out that Bennett was sharing data, he was treated like a pariah. On July 23rd, Bennett drove from his home in Prescott to the fairgrounds. When he got there, he said, a volunteer told him Pullen had suspended him indefinitely. I returned to Prescott and started thinking through what had transpired, Bennett recalled. I eventually concluded that if I was going to be excluded from the rest of the audit, and I was no longer the liaison, I eventually came to the position that I would resign. Bennett called Fan, but she didn't answer. The next morning, he was about to announce his move in a radio interview when Fan called him. Please don't resign. Stay on as liaison, she said, Bennett recalled. Karen, he said, I have to have access to the data, to the workspaces, and to the procedures. She says, we'll work something out over the next day or two, and based on that commitment, I switched on the fly. It took 3 days to hammer out a mutual statement they agreed upon. Privately, Fan wasn't happy with Bennett. In a July 28th text to someone identified in her phone as Leela, Fan indicated her frustration with Bennett. He's mad because he wants access to all the data now, and I told him no, Fan said. The audit is not complete, and we shouldn't be interfering with their job. The guy can't help himself with wanting to be the center of attention. As details about Bennett's situation trickled out, something else was leaking as well. The roof of the exhibit hall. Mata showed up on July 23rd, a few hours after Bennett had headed back to Prescott. It was pouring outside. Mata noticed a bucket inside the building, and then another, and then another. That was the first clue the roof was leaking, he said. He saw water dripping from air ducts in the ceiling. Ballots are normally kept sealed in a vault for 24 months after an election, in case of any election challenges that might come under state law. The county's ballot tabulation machines, worth millions, were in the rain-sodden building. Mata examined the pallets of boxes, stacked in rows along the side of the room. On one pallet, he saw a pool of water sitting atop the sealed boxes. When Mata pointed it out, the workers treated it as if it was no big deal. They covered the boxes in plastic and started to move the pallets to drier spots. Pullen said that day that no ballots or machines were damaged, but Mata said their reaction demonstrated an overall lack of care throughout the process. That's what makes me the maddest, he said. Those are our ballots.
Trump returned to Arizona on July 24th for the first time since losing his re-election bid. The ballot review, and what the former president would say about it, hung over the event. Turning Point Action, a Trump-friendly organization based in Phoenix, hosted the event, which gave the nearly 5,000 conservatives packed inside the Arizona Federal Theater a chance to hear from many of the Republicans seeking their votes next year. From the outset of his rambling remarks that lasted nearly 2 hours, Trump name-checked 9 Republican state senators whom he thanked for pushing the ballot review. One by one, the senators basked in the applause. We're gathered here in Phoenix to show our support for election integrity and for the brave and unyielding conservative warriors in the Arizona State Senate, Trump said. You've created a movement all over the country. This is now starting all over the country. Today, I want to send our profound and everlasting gratitude to every Arizona Republican who had the fortitude and the backbone to defy the lying media.
With your help, we will stand up for democracy and for justice. We will fight for truth, transparency, and accountability. And we will not stop until we have restored our American birthright of honest, free, and fair elections.
Trump singled out Fan for special praise. She's been brave. She's been strong, he said. I predict when the votes come in, I think they're going to be so horrible that she's going to go three steps further than she ever thought she'd have to. Trump also pressured Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich, who didn't attend the rally. Hopefully, he's going to do what everybody knows has to be done, Trump said of Brnovich, who's running for the U.S. Senate in a Republican primary where Trump's endorsement could be decisive. Two other candidates that day helped remind conservatives of Trump's enduring primacy in GOP politics and the ballot review's related importance. Gubernatorial candidate Carrie Lake, an enthusiastic Trump supporter and former anchor for Fox 10 KSAZ-TV, received a thunderous ovation that impressed the former president. 2 months later, Trump endorsed her and noted her commitment to what he cast as election integrity. State Senator Michelle Ugenti Rita, a Republican from Scottsdale and also a candidate for Secretary of State who spent years building a political brand tied to measures that make voting harder, felt the sting from the crowd. She had criticized how the ballot review was carried out and was booed off the stage.
Workers at the state fairgrounds loaded the nearly 2.1 million ballots onto trucks and returned them to the county July 29th, marking the close of a more than three-month process of reviewing ballots and other election equipment. The review offered few signs that it had changed minds about the 2020 election and the way future ones will be conducted in a deeply divided state. On September 24th, FAN convened a final hearing. It held little suspense after the top-line results had leaked the day before. The team led by Cyber Ninjas found Biden had won by a net 360 more votes than reported in the 2020 certified results. FAN spent little time during the nationally watched proceeding going over that finding. Nor did she press Logan to reconcile his specific differences from the certified results. Fan, however, gave Logan and others hours to raise doubts about the county's election procedures, from verifying signatures on ballot envelopes to the security of its tabulation systems to reconsidering the scale of mail-in voting altogether. They pointed to the lack of access to the county's routers as a critical piece of missing evidence. But after months of intimating widespread fraud and allowing Trump and his voters to cling to it as well, Cyber Ninja's 115-page report never claimed any. A movement that started in November claiming vote switching by machines favoring Democrats and widespread votes from dead and illegal voters settled well short of those false allegations. The report identified thousands of ballots it considered problematic, mainly from people who had moved. It couldn't offer a breakdown of how those votes would have affected the final tally for the candidates. That conclusion seemingly mattered little to those who had been the strongest advocates for the review. In a series of statements throughout the day the report was released, Trump said the review had unearthed incomprehensible fraud at an election-changing level. He called for Arizona to decertify its election results and used Arizona's exercise as a model for others to follow. several hundred supporters of the ballot review showed up at a rally outside the state capitol, some carrying signs saying their votes were stolen. They said they still thought Trump had won. At least two men wore camouflage fatigues carrying firearms. One had a shoulder patch for the Three Percenters, an anti-government paramilitary group. At an October 7th congressional hearing about Logan and cyber ninjas in Washington, D.C., Congressman Jamie Raskin, a Democrat from Maryland, asked Congressman Andy Biggs, a Republican from Arizona, who won Arizona. "We don't know, because as the audit demonstrates very clearly, Mr. Raskin, there are a lot of issues with this election that took place," Biggs testily replied. While cyber ninjas reported results similar to the counties, many questioned the numbers. A review of the underlying data by one group of election analysts found the company had fudged its numbers by thousands of ballots. They concluded the numbers reported to the Senate could not be verified or replicated. Moore and White, who were with the group checking Cyber Ninja's work, estimated the company incorrectly tallied about 312,000 ballots and double-counted about 23,000 others. They based their analysis on the Senate's own machine count of ballots overseen by Pullen, which nearly matched the county's certified results. Moore and White called the Cyber Ninja's numbers fiction and a hoax. "We knew they made the numbers up because the discrepancy was so large between the Senate's machine count and the Ninja's hand count," Moore said. "The vote counts for each candidate could not be accurate." In November, Moore and White's group, known as the Audit Guys, published a final review of the Cyber Ninja's hand count data. Their analysis was based on the nearly 80,000 images of tally sheets that reflected Cyber Ninja's count for every vote, which the Senate made public after demands by the Republic. "We have tried dozens of ways to include and exclude various boxes and batches to arrive at those precise figures and have been unable to replicate their announced results," the Audit Guys report said. Moore said the Cyber Ninjas claim that Biden gained 99 votes and Trump lost 261 in the recount was political theater designed to give the hand count undeserved credibility.
The proceedings at the fairgrounds were live-streamed, but video shots of a distant work floor didn't provide full transparency. Much about how the election review was conducted remained secret. The Republic sued the Senate and Cyber Ninjas in June for records such as emails, texts, and other communications related to the ballot review. The news organization first requested the documents from the Senate and Cyber Ninjas through the Arizona Public Records Law, but was rebuffed. A left-leaning political nonprofit made a related public records request. The Republic argued, and a trial court agreed, the documents related to the election review are public records because it was conducted under the direction of the Senate, a public body. Cyber Ninjas, which was performing a core governmental function funded in part by state taxpayer dollars, was required to maintain public records related to the work and make them available to the public, the judge ruled. Attorneys for the Senate and Cyber Ninjas have appealed multiple judges' decisions, and many documents remain inaccessible to the public because of claims of legislative privilege. The fight for those public records continues in Arizona courts. Benjamin Ginsburg, a Washington, D.C. lawyer who represented the George W. Bush and Mitt Romney presidential campaigns, said Cyber Ninjas had produced no credible evidence of widespread fraud. "To me, the legacy of it is, even with the playing field tilted, they still couldn't come up with anything," he said. In Barry Burden, a political science professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, who researches election administration and public opinion, said Arizona's ballot review doesn't appear to have accomplished its stated goals. The purported reason for doing these reviews is to boost public confidence, especially among people who voted for Donald Trump and have some skepticism about the election results, he said. But instead, it's review after review where suspicions are raised and questions are asked without answers, and it looks like for all the millions of dollars and months that were put into Arizona and Maricopa County, it's only going to foster additional reviews and projects. For her part, Fan still hasn't let go of 2020. Fan sent Brnovich, Arizona's top prosecutor, a letter noting the state needed to better verify signatures and maintain voter rolls. She gave him the Cyber Ninja's report to consider any additional investigation, putting the onus for any further fallout squarely on him. In November, his office questioned Adrian Fontes, the former Democratic Maricopa County recorder, as part of a probe about the election. The Senate's activities cost taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars. County taxpayers, meanwhile, will spend about $2.8 million to replace election equipment used in only one federal election cycle and rendered insecure due to the ballot review. From the president's seat in the Senate chamber, Fan indicated election-related legislation would be introduced in the legislative session that begins in January. "We do have some work to do here," she said at the close of the three-hour hearing. "At the very least, what I think can come out of this is that we need to do audits to some extent. We need to do bigger audits on every election just to make sure that everybody is following the rules."
It's unclear how long Trump's loss and the split between those who acknowledge it and those who don't will divide Arizona Republicans. It's unclear how long baseless concerns about vote counts will continue to undermine the election process. While the ballot review boosted the political and financial fortunes of some Arizona politicians, others gained unwanted scrutiny. Maricopa County Supervisor Steve Chukri's political fortunes collapsed. The Republican had easily won re-election to the County Board of Supervisors in 2020 and was thought to be eyeing a possible congressional run. Board Chairman Jack Sellers had passed him over for the County Board's vice chair position, going instead with Supervisor Bill Gates. Sellers cited concerns about Chukri's time constraints. While in office, Chukri headed the Arizona Restaurant Association, an influential group that represents the industry. Chukri suspected a different reason. He was the lone vote on the board late in December against suing the Senate to try to block its subpoenas. As the majority Republican board tried to present a united voice against a partisan process, Chukri spoke about his differences bluntly in private conversations. "That one vote, right? Cost me from being the vice chair, which I don't give a shit," he said in a conversation secretly recorded by leaders from We the People AZ Alliance. That group helped lead the efforts to garner support among state and local leaders for the ballot review and unsuccessfully tried to recall the supervisors. In September, the conservative website Gateway Pundit published snippets of Chukri's profanity-laced conversations with the leaders days before the ballot review findings were made public. In the audio, Chukri perpetuated the unfounded claims that dead people had voted. He indicated there was multifaceted fraud that remains without evidence. He said Sellers and Gates, who both won narrow races, feared a ballot review. "What would happen in those two races?" Chukri said with a conspiratorial tone. After the audio went viral, Chukri offered his heartfelt apologies. "The comments I made were during a very turbulent time," he said in a written statement. There was no cover-up. The election was not stolen. Biden won. He resigned from office effective November 5th. The other county supervisors, Jack Sellers, Bill Gates, Clint Hickman, and Steve Gallardo, have gained a measure of vindication. Republican State Senator Paul Boyer, a lawmaker from Glendale who opposed holding the county board in contempt in the only vote on the ballot review, faces a primary challenge. It comes from Anthony Kern, the former state representative who was outside the U.S. Capitol January 6th and was among those inspecting ballots at the Coliseum. Boyer should pay for his disloyalty, Trump instructed his followers. In a statement in July, Trump said, Boyer has been nothing but trouble, while Kern is a strong and highly respected challenger. Stephen Richer, the Republican Maricopa County recorder who defeated Fontes, a Democrat, largely backed the county's election procedures used by the man he beat. He criticized Trump's allies for the ballot review and tried to marshal wider resistance to it, even urging two top aides to Ducey to sign on to a letter decrying it after Trump had heaped praise on the Senate for launching it. That effort flopped. In text messages and emails to his peers, Richer voiced contempt for conspiracy theorists. Court rulings don't matter to these people, Richer wrote in a text message to Maricopa County Supervisor Clint Hickman on February 18th. As you rightly noted, this is religious, and El Presidente is the Lord and Savior. I had somebody flat tell me that I was an idiot for believing that the machines weren't connected to the internet, and that she knows they were. How am I supposed to deal with that? It's unclear how long Richer and other county supervisors will endure a backlash from the Republican Party's Trump loyalists. State Representative Mark Fincham, a Republican from Oro Valley and a candidate for Secretary of State, also was in Washington, D.C. on January 6th for the Stop the Steal rally. He had been in direct communication with organizers during that period. He helped spread Trump's discredited claims of election fraud from its earliest days and pressed repeatedly for a legislative hearing on irregularities cited by Giuliani. With the ballot review in Maricopa County complete, Fincham called for expanded action. We need to audit Pima County, he wrote on Twitter. He baselessly claimed 35,000 votes were in question from multiple sources, and I want answers. Trump rewarded Fincham's loyalty with his coveted endorsement in a race that had scarcely started. Mark was willing to say what few others had the courage to say, Trump said in his announcement. In October, Fincham, a man once mocked for his Western apparel, appeared on stage at a Trump rally in Iowa wearing a cowboy hat. The ballot review also elevated the stature of State Senator Wendy Rogers, a Republican from Flagstaff and retired Air Force pilot who has lost four runs for Congress. She was one of the ballot review's most outspoken supporters. Rogers forged a national identity and traveled around the country to crusade for similar exercises. In emails to supporters, she demanded a perp walk for those responsible and pleaded for cash. The only way we will get the word out about the audit and the truth of it is to get it out ourselves, and that takes money, one said. Later, she issued a letter saying, all 50 states need to be forensically audited, with dozens of lawmakers from all over the nation, from Idaho to Indiana and Michigan to Mississippi. The Arizona Republican Party, under Chair Kelly Ward, leveraged the ballot review to raise funds for itself. Some Republicans complained the money raised under the banner of the review never actually helped pay for it. Through September, the Arizona GOP pulled in $2.2 million, according to its latest federal fundraising report. By comparison, in the same period 2 years earlier, the party had collected less than $877,000. No groups are known to have hit the jackpot better than the Trump-affiliated political action committees Save America and Make America Great Again. Together, they raised more than $92 million in the first half of the year. Republicans weren't alone in cashing in on the ballot review. The Arizona Democratic Party, under the helm of State Senator Raquel Terran, battered Republicans for pursuing the review and hit up Democrats for money, too. The party reported raising nearly $2 million in federal funds through September. At the same point in 2019, the Democrats raised $1.3 million. Arizona Secretary of State Katie Hobbs, a Democrat, became a fixture on national news ahead of her 2022 run for governor. She condemned the ballot review from start to finish. She and her staff faced death threats over it, and her campaign hauled in money. The financial fortunes of individual candidates in Arizona won't be publicly known until financial reports are due in January. Biggs, Congressman Paul Gosar, and other Republicans involved in the Stop the Steal rallies remain under scrutiny by the special House committee examining the January 6th riot. Bennett seems to be wandering in a political no man's land. He is viewed warily by the review's most ardent supporters and viewed as an accomplice to fraud by those who opposed it. His political future, if there is one, is unclear. "I didn't do this for a political future," the Prescott Republican said with a laugh, "and I'm not trying to roll it into one." 2 months later, he confirmed he is considering running for office in 2022. "I have contemplated the Secretary of State position and the state Senate seat up here," he said. "Those have come into my mind. It seems like in today's political climate, being a candidate almost contaminates, if that's the right word, everything you do." In January, Fan and House Speaker Rusty Bowers, a Republican from Mesa, will open another legislative session as the leaders of their respective chambers. Bowers, who resisted being pulled into a partisan ballot review, survived a recall effort after several rounds of protests outside his home. He largely tuned out the review and said he's focused on the upcoming legislative session in a House of Representatives that is expected to have 10 new members. Fan remains part of the changing political landscape. She announced in early November she will retire from the state Senate after next year. She will leave transformed. Once a lawmaker unfamiliar to most Arizonans, she's now a political hero to Trump supporters, recognized even while shopping in California. Now, a friend of hers said, everywhere she goes, she gets a standing ovation.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Gaggle. This is part 5 of a 5-part series. Before you go, please rate and review our show and share this episode with a friend. If you want to reach out to me on Twitter, I'm at Yvonne Winget.
And I'm at Ronald J. Hansen. That's H-A-N-S-E-N. Today's episode was edited and produced by Kaylee Monahan. There are lots of supporting pictures, videos, text messages, and documents on our website, azcentral.com. We invite you to subscribe to AZ Central and read the Arizona Republic.